In a recent speech, President Duterte made a candid admission of unfulfilled promises. And chief among these was his failure to eradicate drug offenders. This was an early promise, if you remember, in his campaign. He started with a promise to eradicate drug problem in just 3 months. And when he became president, he sued for more time to 6 months, extended to a year, until he admitted it is impossible. Of course, he did not include the fact that he also promised to resign if this war on drugs failed, and we don't expect him to resign. Now, it does not shock us, it does not shock people that a politician will fail in his campaign promises. I mean, what else is new? Inaasahan natin kapag politiko ang nangako, mas kadalasan ay mawawala ng saysay ang pangako na yan. But it is a matter of profound significance both theologically and practically when it is God's promise that is the subject of doubt. Kapag ang pangako ng Diyos, ang pag-alinlanganan, ay malaking at mabigat na problema ito sa ating doktrina, mabigat na problema ito sa ating mga praktikal na hinaharap sa araw-araw ng ating pananampalataya. Now, this is the issue that earns the last of Paul's intense and emotional response of megenoito. So I would remind you that this expression is the strongest negative reaction in the Greek vocabulary, variously translated. Some would even translate, God forbid. But the idea is an emotional response by that speaker or writer to show his utter objection to a proposition. And what happens usually where Paul expresses or utters this objection is when he teaches a truth and then he anticipates or spells an objection to the truth, and he will react very strongly indeed. And it is about something unthinkable and unacceptable. And we are dealing with the last of this after dealing with what he said twice in Galatians and several times now in Romans. We come again to another objection. In chapters 9 to 11 of Romans, we saw one last week, the idea that because God is sovereignly granting grace as He chooses, as He wills, there are those who will raise the objection that that is being unjust. And as I said in our message last week, God's justice condemns all sinners, but His sovereign grace will save many. No one can appeal to justice. If that is what you appeal to, as far as you are concerned, what you deserve is the wrath of God, which is just. Walang maaring maka-apila na bigyan ako ng Diyos ng hustisya. Ang hustisya na igagawad ng Diyos sa isang makasalanan ay parusa. At hanggat hindi mo nga inaamin na ikaw ay makasalanan, dapat parusahan ayon sa hustisya ng Diyos, hindi ka makararating sa pagsisisi at pagsampalataya sa Ebanghelyo. But now, Apostle Paul begins to address another objection pertaining to the sovereignty of God. And I would invite you, again for the last time in this series, turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, we will read from verse 1 to verse 12 and then jump to verses 25 to 27. Romans 11, 1 to 12 and 25 to 27. I ask then, has God rejected His people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected His people whom He foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah how he speaks to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see, and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. Verse 11, so I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Jump to verses 25 to 27. Lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will finish ungodliness from Jacob, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And as I've said and observed last week, Romans 9 to 11 is a section that probably is one of the most difficult in the scriptures. But difficult, as I explained, not because it is hard to exegete. The words are clear. So it's not, the difficulty is not exegetical. The difficulty is that the doctrine is unpalatable. Mahirap lulunin ang doktrina na itinuturo dito ni Pablo, kasama na ang pagkasoberano ng biyaya ng Diyos, at yan ang dahilan na napakahirap tanggapin ang mga itinuturo ni Apostol Pablo. And we saw that last week when we expounded that statement of God taken from the Old Testament, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated, and many are raising objections against that, when in fact what is so shocking is not that God should hate Esau, but that God in His grace should love Jacob. Now, something of that is again at issue in this passage we have read. Paul is answering two questions. The first question in verse 1 is, has God rejected His people? You see, the idea is Israel is God's chosen, and there's no dispute of that. Pinili ng Diyos ang Israel. Bakit ngayon, ang karamihan ng biyaya ng Ebanghelyo ay kumakalat sa mga Hentil at ang Israel ay naiiwan sa kawalan ng pananampalataya? And that is a question, therefore, whether God has failed in His promise to Israel. So, has God rejected, contrary to His promise, the people of Israel? And the second question is there in verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? Now, in essence, the question is asking, is there no more hope for Israel? So both questions pertain to Israel. One question is, has God rejected Israel after promising that Israel will be God's people? And the second question is there no more hope for Israel? Now, Paul answers this quite clearly, but we need to train our minds to appreciate that Paul is thinking in terms of the whole history of the world from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ. In other words, he is looking at what is happening in the church, what is happening in the mission of the gospel from the time of Christ's death and resurrection until the time of the second coming. And that is something we need to discipline our minds to do, because the objection is often dictated by looking at one instance or one period of history. And Paul is saying the fulfillment is a whole period bracketed by the first coming and the second coming. And I ask you to train your minds, discipline your minds to appreciate the New Testament interpretation of Old Testament prophecies bracketed by the first coming and the second coming. And when we think in that way, the message that I want to bring before you is that God's covenant promise in Christ is presently being fulfilled and ultimately will be fulfilled. Ang mga pangako ng Diyos kay Kristo ay natutupad na ngayon at sa kahulihan ay lubos na matutupad. Remember, that's the question. God has promised something and it seems that it is not being fulfilled in Israel. So isn't that a proof that God's promise has failed? And Paul is saying, look at the whole period, not one instance, the whole period. And the whole period shows that God even now is fulfilling it and will have an ultimate fulfillment until Christ comes again. Therefore, there are two dimensions that Apostle Paul is telling us to consider. First is present fruit of conversion, ang kasalukuyang bunga ng pagliligtas, present fruit of conversion. And the second is future success of mission, ang panghinaharap na tagumpay ng misyon o ng pag-iibanghelyo, future success of mission. So these are both essential to Paul's explanation why the promise is being fulfilled. The first, he invites his readers to look at present conversion, the present fruit of conversion, and Apostle Paul cites himself. He said, am I not an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham? I belong even to the most outstanding tribe of Benjamin. What is Paul doing in making that point? Well, remember the argument, the objection was, why is God forsaking Israel? Why isn't his promise being fulfilled in Israel? And Paul is saying, who says it's not being fulfilled? Look at me. I'm an Israelite and I'm a Christian. I have been converted to the gospel. And not only me, there are thousands like me. So those who object in this way are those who are not converted. And if you are converted, Paul is saying, you will realize this is fulfillment of what God has promised in the problem was the Israelites wanted it to only be fulfilled among Jews. And Paul is saying, no, it is not being fulfilled only among Jews. Jews and Gentiles fulfill what God promised to Israel. So that tells us every genuine conversion, Jew or Gentile, is a fulfillment of God's promised grace. Bawat pagkakaligtas, Hudyo man o Hentil, ay katuparan ng pangako ng biyaya. That's the mistake of the objection is they wanted to limit it to Israel. And they think the promise to Israel means only Jews. And that's what Paul is challenging. If you recall the actual promise to Abraham, Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, what did God promise in the covenant? I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, in Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So right there in the promise to Abraham, God did not promise that he will bless Israel alone. Granted, Israel was the first choice of nation. But he says even through Abraham, the end result from the very beginning, God's intention is to bring salvation to all. Eh, itong mga Hudyo, gusto nila na Israel lang. Gusto nilang lamang ang Israel. At hindi nila matanggap na ang pangako sa Israel ay kumakalat na at umaapaw ano pat ito'y dumarating maging sa mga hindi Hudyo, kundi pati sa Israel. So that's the plan from the very beginning. It's the misunderstanding of the objector that raises that issue. And Paul is saying, I'm an Israelite. I am a proof that God is fulfilling His promise that grace will come about the Israelites. In fact, Paul says, by implication, not only me, listen to Elijah or look at the encounter between God and Elijah, and Paul is saying, this is happening now. Well, what happened between in the encounter between God and Elijah? After Elijah ran away from Jezebel, he went to Mount Horeb and there complained to Yahweh, I alone am left. This is a man in deep self-pity and depression. Ay, maraming ganyang Kristiyano. Ako na lang matapat, nagpapakatapat ako. Bakit naman ako pinahihirapan mo, Panginoon? At ang sabi ng Panginoon sa kanya, yan ang akala mo, meron pa akong inilaan na libo-libong hindi yumukod kay Baal. Ang implikasyon ni Pablo ay, maging ngayon, ganyan ang nangyayari. May libo-libong Israelita, mga Hudyo, na nagiging mananampalataya, patunay na natutupad ang pangako ng Diyos. So already in Paul's day, the promise to Israel is being fulfilled. Israelites like Paul are being saved. But what Paul wants to underscore is that it is not only Israelites displaying grace, Gentiles also. Every convert is a display of the promised grace. And he speaks of a remnant chosen by grace, and that includes Jews and Gentiles. You know, the process of naturalization is when a foreigner becomes the citizen of a country that he adopts. And that proves the approval of the government. Now, from whatever country that foreigner comes, whether Asian or European, if he becomes Filipino citizen, it's the same proof of the approval of government. And Paul is saying, whether Jew or Gentile, when conversion happens, it is a proof of grace. It fulfills the promised grace. So beyond the objection of the Jews in Paul's day, there's a challenge for us here that Paul draws as a lesson, and that is always put grace first before works, whether you are dealing with God or with the people of God. Unahin mo ang biyaya bago ang mga gawa. Eh may dahilan bakit gusto ng mga Hudyo na sila lang. Gusto nilang ipakita na lamang sila pagdating sa gawa, sapagkat sila ay may mga batas, may mga seremonyang sinusunod, may iba't ibang mga ritual na hindi ginagawa ng mga Hentil. Gusto nilang makamaramdaman na lamang sila. At ang sinasabi ni Pablo, hindi. Lahat kayo'y bunga ng biyaya kung kayo'y mga Kristiyano, hindi dahil lamang kayo sa gawa. And that is what he says when he makes the point, if it is grace, it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. He is displaying and exalting grace above works. And he is challenging the objection of the Jews of his day because of their pride in their works. Eh, mahalaga ito sa ating pakikitungo sa ating Diyos. You see, one who appreciates grace will have no problem seeing every conversion as a proof of the grace of God. And the church is a collection of men and women who are converted differently, but the same grace of God. Some are converted listening to preaching. Others are converted by reading. Others listen to an audio message or whatever else that God has used to reach out to you. At the end, at the common denominator of all of this is grace. Now that means learn to value grace more than works. If you do that, you will not look down to any convert. This is the problem of the Jews. They were looking down on Gentile converts. And they want it just for themselves. Instead, admire grace at every occurrence of conversion. Hangaan mo ang biyaya sa bawat mangyayari na may maligtas na makasalanan. It proves God's covenant promise. And it is relevant to a controversy we touched on recently. Why are we insisting that grace as a covenant promise has begun right at the sin of man when Adam fell? Because that is the only way sinners are saved. Diyan lamang ang paraan na ang sino man ay maligtas at nangyari na ang katuparan sa panahon ni Pablo, abot ang ating panahon. That means also in seeking conversion of sinners, put grace first before works. If you look at works, there will be some sinners you would already give up on even before you begin your work of witness. Kung pairalin mo ang pagtimbang sa mga gawa, bago ka pa magsimulang magpatotoo, ayaw mo nang magpatotoo sa kanila, parang sinuko mo na sila. In our dealing with one another as brethren, again, we have to deal with differences of character and background and personality, and that means there will be clashes that are inevitable. But remember, every brother and sister is a product of grace. Despite problems with their works, they are products of grace. And in our worship of God, put grace first before works. We draw near to God on the basis of grace, not works. Are you dealing with some issues in your life that you feel you cannot worship God even now? And that is because you're letting works come first. Let grace come first, and then you will be amazed at the grace of God. When John Bunyan reflected on his own conversion, he was so amazed by what grace has done to him when he put it in writing and published it later. He used the title, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And he applied it to himself. Napaka umaapaw na biyaya sa pinakamasahol na makasalanan. That's how he felt of himself. And only grace has reached out to him. So what Paul is saying is every conversion at present proves that God's promise is being fulfilled, except that it is not only being fulfilled among Jews, it is fulfilled among Gentiles. Therefore, every conversion, and it is continuing today, brethren, every conversion is a proof of grace. But secondly, Paul also mentions here and establishes the future success of mission. This is in answer to the second question in verse 11. Is Israel in a hopeless situation? Did Israel stumble so that he may fall and no longer get up? Has it fallen from grace or from God's favor forever? That is what Paul answers in verses 25 and 26. He says, no, Israel will yet be saved. And he is putting forth here a teaching of scriptures established both in Old and New Testaments. What is that? That the gospel is destined to reach all nations through the mission of the church. Nakatakda na ang ebanghelyo ay makarating, umabot sa bawat bansa at sa lahat ng mga bansa sa mundo. Yan ang pangako ng Diyos. So a key to the expectation of the future is Paul's assertion, so all Israel will be saved. Now it's very providential that we read 2 Chronicles 10 as our scripture reading, because there the expression all Israel is used several times. And all Israel coming to Rehoboam does not mean every single Israelite. It simply means representing the nation. So when it says all Israel will be saved, it is not saying every single Israeli person is going to be saved. It simply means a representation of the nation will be saved. And what it is saying is that what is true of Israel is true of every nation. Sa bawat bansa, may mga kakatawan na ililigtas ng Panginoon. At tandaan natin, pag sinabing bansa, nation, in the New Testament, Greek, ethne is not what we have today as nation states. It's not the United Nations nations. It means people groups, Ilocanos, Tagalogs, etc. These are nations in the New Testament sense. At ang sinasabi, bawat bahagi ng mga tao, may mga ililigtas na kakatawanin ang Panginoon. And that is what it means, all Israel will be saved. And the word so is important. Some translations have then Israel will be saved. Na parang sinasabi, masisave muna ang mga Gentiles pagkatapos Israel naman. At that becomes the basis of those who believe in rapture, rapturing the Gentile church and then tribulation period and millennial period for Israel. Hindi po ganyan. The word is so, meaning in the same manner Gentiles are now being saved, Israel, Jews, Israeli people are now being saved. So all it is teaching is that all nations will be reached by the gospel, and the future is no nation on earth will be untouched by the gospel. This coincides with the biblical teaching, both Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, listen to this promise, Psalm 22:27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. This is Psalm 22. Do you know how Psalm 22 begins? Verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is what Jesus adopts. In other words, Psalm 22 is messianic. It begins with the suffering of the Messiah. But as a result of that suffering, people will come to Yahweh. And this is still happening today. If you understand what the cross has done, kung naunawaan mo ang ginawa ni Jesus sa krus at ang kanyang pagtanggap ng hatol ng Diyos sa kanyang sariling pagkatao, ngunit sa pamamagitan niyan, maaari kang makalapit sa Diyos sa kaligtasan. Gawin mo yan ngayon. Tinatawag ka na lumapit kay Jesus Kristo na nagdusa ng hatol ng Diyos para sa makasalanan. But the promise is all nations, all families will turn to Yahweh. Listen to Isaiah 19 and verse 21. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and worship with sacrifice and offering. Now, the Egyptians are singled out because they are the diametrical enemy opposite of Israel. If there's one nation who will never adopt the God of Israel, it was Egypt in the Old Testament. And yet, Isaiah says, the day is coming when even Egypt is going to turn to the Lord. And this is what the New Testament says. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So it is a preceding event prior to the end, prior to the second coming of Christ. In other words, mission has a future. The Old Testament promises and the New Testament declaration will be fulfilled by the church through its mission. And that answers the objection. Is there no more hope for Israel? Paul's answer is something he very strongly feels. He says, "Mekinoito, never think that God has forgotten Israel. There will yet be salvation to come to Israel and to all nations." Mangyayari yan sa Ebanghelyo. Alam niyo ba, there are now more cell phones than people in the world. And cell phones have penetrated almost every tribe of peoples. And would you believe that technology can do that, and should God fail? I do not believe so. I believe that the day will come when every tribe. That's what the Bible tells us in Revelation 7. Every nation from all tribes and peoples and languages before the throne of the Lamb, there will be representation of every language known on earth of those who will praise the Lamb for His saving work. Maliligtas. And that challenges us as a church. Have confidence in the power and future of the gospel in the world. Magkumpiyansa tayo sa hinaharap at kapangyarihan ng ebanghelyo sa mundo. Ikaw na nagpapabaya o nagwawalang bahala sa paanyaya ng ebanghelyo, ikaw ang mapapabayaan. Ikaw ang mapapahamak, hindi ang ebanghelyo. Magkakaroon ng hinaharap ang ebanghelyo. Marami nang tumuligsa, marami nang namintas sa ebanghelyo. Marami nang umusig mula pa ng imperyo ng Roma. Ngunit wala na ang Roman Empire, nandyan pa ang ebanghelyo. At ganyan ang mangyayari. Magpapatuloy ang ebanghelyo, anuman ang oposisyon ng tao, anong ginawa mo na sa ebanghelyo kung hindi ka pa sumasampalataya? The gospel is a future. You have no future of eternity unless you are a gospel believer. But for us, brethren, let us overcome the tendency to pessimism about the power of the gospel in the world. We can have an overestimation of the power of sin and underestimate what the gospel is able to do. No nation, this is the promise, will be untouched by the preaching of the gospel in the world, so that even Israel will be saved. Now, the first point of Paul in answer to the first question addresses Jews who tend to ignore Gentiles. The second answer of Paul is warning Gentiles who will tend to forget the Jews. Both are wrong. Not because the gospel now is mostly with Gentiles. Do not forget Israel, because God has promised. God has not forgotten the nation of Israel. The gospel will prove inclusive in that no nation, no language will be spared by the gospel. And I want to say, it is providential that we are impressed with this truth at a time we are considering foreign mission, that we have decided to adopt foreign mission as a present and prior concern. And I urge you, let us not have a small-minded expectation of the fruit of the gospel. Even in our ministries, and who knows, someone here the Lord will touch to become a missionary someday. But whatever it is, every conversion and every event happening, even in Israel, is a proof that God has not forgotten His people. Baruch Meos is an Israeli citizen. He is also a Reformed Baptist preacher now in his senior years. I have shared pulpits with him on several occasions in international conferences. You can find his testimony and works at the meosweb.com. But he has been in the ministry near Tel Aviv, and God is using him. I have met some of his converts in some of these conferences. They are Jews who have become Christians. And I see that as a proof of what God has promised. And now, for our part, where we are at, are we exercising confidence in the gospel, believing that every conversion is a product of grace, and believing that mission is going to have its fruit of success someday? Let us have the intensity of feeling Paul is displaying here. Never even imagine that grace will fall short in converting sinners. Never even imagine that God has forgotten any nation, Israel included, in the mission of the gospel. Paul's intense feeling challenges us to be intense as well for the work of the gospel. So as far as any objection to the gospel is concerned, and in closing this series, may we have that intensity of feeling that suggests any suggestion the gospel is going to fail, we say, Meginoito, may it never be, by no means. And we will sing our last hymn with that in mind and the call to go to the regions beyond. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mapagbiyayang Ama, salamat Panginoon sa matinding emosyon ni Apostol Pablo na sumama sa kanyang pagtuturo patungkol sa Ebanghelyo. At pinatunayan niya na ang pangako sa lumang tipan ay hindi nabigo, hindi nawala ng saysay, kundi nabibigyang katuparan sa bawat isa na naliligtas at sa darating na araw na tagumpay ng misyon ng Ebanghelyo. So we pray, Lord, that we may have the same intensity of feeling for the gospel of grace. And may we believe like Paul that every conversion that occurs is a proof of the fulfillment of that promised grace. As Paul himself has made his own conversion a proof of it, and yet he would not limit it to the Jews only, but even Gentile conversion is a proof of what God has promised to Abraham, that in him all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we pray, Lord, that we may be challenged to put grace first before works. For this, after all, is the reason for the objection of the Jews of Paul's day. They wanted to bring in their works and to boast about their superiority over Gentiles who did not share their works. Correct our attitude. Instead, to make grace be the displayed power at every conversion, whoever it may be. And may we also believe in your grace when we seek to be a witness for the gospel to sinners who may probably earn dismissal because of how bad they are. And yet, as we have learned, that even a Jacob can be loved out of your sovereign grace. So we pray, Lord, for much attraction to the grace of God in the gospel and to believe in its power. And help us, Lord, to bring this even to the issue of gospel mission. There is a future success for mission for even Israel. At present, resistant to the gospel, yet all Israel will be saved. There will be a representation of every nation, every tribe, every language group at the throne of the Lamb to praise Him for His saving work. And believing that, Father, give us the confidence that our mission work will be given success. Even in our desire to be involved in foreign mission, help us to do so with that confidence that there is hope for the gospel. We pray, Lord, for those who here are still ignoring the gospel. May they realize that you have your plan for the gospel that will touch every nation in the world. And it is those who ignore it who will do so in their peril. So we pray, Lord, that you may touch hearts even in this congregation and convert sinners, display them as your grace, and give us the confidence and the intensity of feeling for the hope of the gospel in the world. Make us a church that is truly committed to the gospel and to the work of mission. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.